Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
And I'm going to be taking a look at a story here. So first, let's turn to Luke 24, and I'm going to go through the full story. It's going to be 13 through 35. Say amen when you're there. All righty. And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 70 furlongs, which I out of curiosity, I looked it up, and 70 furlongs is approximately 7.5 miles. So at your average gait, say 2.5 miles an hour, it's about a 3-mile hike from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And they talked together of all these things which had just happened, which previous verses, we'll read the whole trial of Jesus, the crucifixion of Jesus, the burial, and we even see the presumed resurrection of Jesus, which these guys, as we'll see in here in a second, are aware of. And it came to pass that while they talked together, and while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. So Jesus, resurrected, approaches these two guys on the way to Emmaus, these disciples, and they're discussing all the past day's happenings, but they are of a sad countenance. And so Jesus says unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God, and all the people, and how the chief priest and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. It is astounding to me that they follow that statement right up with, yay. And a certain woman, and not only did all that happen 3 days ago, but this morning, a certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher, and when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had seen also a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, well, let me pause before I get into Jesus' statement, but so these guys, they're still of sad countenance. What does that mean to me? That means that they're walking to Emmaus. Okay, the tomb's empty. That's beyond question. The body must have been stolen or something, because I am not of the belief that Jesus is raised from the dead, because I am still of a sad countenance. If I had believed that he was risen, I might not be heading to Emmaus. So Jesus says to them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh into the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them, and it came to pass that as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, blessed it, and brake it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. Wow. They are on a 3-hour hike to Emmaus. The body's gone. The body's missing. Jesus is dead. Our trust, the one we put our trust in, has seemingly not come through with everything that we, our expectations have not been met. Jesus walks into them and opens their eyes. I think it's pretty cool that Jesus does not reveal himself to them. Instead, he hides who he is, because I kind of think, you know, as studying for this lesson, I thought, you know, that may have kind of blown the whole point, right? Instead of just saying, guys, I'm here, he hides his true identity and goes to Scripture. And for 3-hour hike from Jerusalem to Emmaus, he goes from Moses all the way to current day, saying, this is who Jesus was. This is who Jesus is. And then they say, well, man, this guy has opened our eyes to Scripture, and our hearts are burning within us. Don't go. Come in and stay with us for the night. Have dinner. And he sits down, and he breaks bread, and their eyes are open, which also leads me to believe that these guys were not fly-by-night followers. These guys very likely had been in the upper room and witnessed the Last Supper, right? I mean, they recognized when Jesus blesses the bread and breaks it, hands it to them, they're like, we've seen this before. This is Jesus. And he reveals himself to them, and then immediately he's gone from their sight. And then these guys, when you know the truth, there's no distance, you won't go. They stand up and they go 3-hour journey. I bet you it took a lot less than the journey going to Emmaus than it took them to get back to Jerusalem. And so, as we go through this, I'm thinking to myself, man, how much would I have enjoyed to kind of be there, do that 3-hour hike to Emmaus to hear Jesus explain from Moses through a 3-hour Bible study coming from the direct mouth of God, saying, this is who I am. So I pulled some scriptures to kind of give us this idea. So we know there's Cleopas and friend. So let's take a moment and each one of us put ourselves as and friend. So we've got Jesus, Cleopas, and me, or in your case, you, as we walk through, and we're like, man, this is down and trout. We're in a tight spot. Our trust has been broken. This guy walks up and says, man, you guys are fools and slow of heart to come see what the prophets had spoken. And so he begins it, well, you know, there's a virgin birth prophesied. So Isaiah 7:14 says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign, and behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Jesus says, man, Mary was a virgin. And the angels declared him to be Emmanuel. And for us today, because I know in this moment, the New Testament was being lived out. It was not being written yet, right? But so for us, Luke 1:35 says, and the angel answered and said unto her, meaning Mary, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And he says, you know, it was prophesied that he would be born in Bethlehem. Micah 5:2 says, but thou, Bethlehem, Ephrath, I don't know how to say that word, Bethlehem, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from over, everlasting. And so he's like, you know, I was born in Bethlehem, and I didn't write the scripture down, but it was also prophesied that he would come out of Egypt. So Mary and Joseph, because Joseph was afraid of Mary being ridiculed, ostracized for being expecting without being married, angel directed Joseph to bring her to Egypt. And he comes out of Egypt back into Bethlehem to pay taxes. And that's when Jesus is born. So then it says, you know, going forward, his ministry would begin in Galilee, and which is Isaiah 9, 1 and 2 says, nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light, and they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. He started in Galilee. Matthew, and now I want to say, for us, we're reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. We're presuming that these guys have whatever has happened so far. They've lived it, right? So Matthew 4:12 through 17 says, now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee, and of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So this is happening as they're walking, right? They're learning. God's speaking. And I'm not going to sit here for 3 hours. But, in fact, I don't even know that I would be able to recite everything that Jesus spoke unto them. But then Jesus says he would even draw the Gentiles. Because, you know, the Jewish nation is this Lord, this God is the God of the Jews. He's ours, right? But it's foretold that he's going to draw the Gentiles as well. So Isaiah 11:10 says, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for a sign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. In John 12:18 through 21 says, for this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, sir, we would seek Jesus. I'm going to hit the scripture verse a little bit later as well, but in the whole trial of Jesus, we see that the scribes and Pharisees, Jesus is brought before Pilate to be tried. Pilate questions Jesus, and he finds no fault in him, and he's like, I'm just going to release him because you guys bring false charges. Well, they press Pilate even harder and said, well, he's been teaching and doing all of these horrible things from the time that he came from Galilee. Well, when Pilate hears this, he sees an out. He says, well, Galilee, that's out of my jurisdiction. I can send Jesus over to Herod and let him handle this mess. He sends Jesus to Herod, and the Bible says that when Herod heard that Jesus was being sent to him, he was exceedingly glad because he greatly desired to talk with Jesus because he had heard who Jesus was, and he desired that Jesus show him a miracle. He desired to see a miracle to know of this God, this Savior. So he's calling the Gentiles. Blinded eyes be open. This is an important one. I know Pastor mentions it often because, yes, there were miracles performed before Jesus walking on earth, but no one had ever had their blinded eyes open. So Isaiah 35, 5 and 6 says, then the eyes of the blind shall be open, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. And so in Luke, I know Jesus did a couple blind eyes opening, but this one here is the one I've got, is Luke 18, 38 through 43. And the blind man cried out, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace, but he cried out so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith have saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. He fulfilled it time and time again. Jesus also was foretold to be the Passover lamb. In Exodus 12, 20 through 27, I'm not going to read through this whole story here, but essentially, we see the children of Israel go through the Passover where they have to have a spotless, perfect lamb to put the blood over the doorpost as a covering to protect them from the death angel. It is foretold that there is going to be a spotless lamb coming. And in 1 Corinthians 5, 7, it says, purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. And as the Passover lamb no bone shall be broken. No bones were broken in him as well. His blood will be an atonement for our sins. And here, this kind of goes back to the trust that the disciples, that Cleopas and myself said, you know, I was trusting that this was the one that was going to redeem Israel. So Leviticus 17:11 says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." And Matthew 26:28 says, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remissions of sins." And like a lamb before the slaughter, he opened not his mouth. So Isaiah 53:7 says, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth." When Jesus is brought before Herod, Herod is desiring some things of Jesus, right? But at the same time, even though he's desiring some things, his ambition, I would say, is almost maybe a little bit questionable. Is he seeking a miracle for sport, or is he seeking to know who Jesus truly is, right? So the Bible says here, in Luke 23:8-9, says, "And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned him with many words, but he answered him nothing." You could teach a lesson on that too, is make sure that your heart is right. Because as you seek after things of God, if you seek after him, he will give you the desires of your heart. But if you seek after things, you may get an empty answer. Which, in my notes here, this brings me to the point of, we've reached Emmaus. We sit down. We've heard the scripture. Our hearts have been opened. And we sit down and we break bread with this stranger. And all of a sudden, our eyes are opened to the reality, to the truth, that I've been walking with Jesus this entire time. Excuse me. I don't know who this is for this morning. But in our walk with the Lord, sometimes, on occasion, we may have a hurt, get into a valley that's really low. And we may begin to be questioning, say, hey, where am I at? Where's Jesus at? I don't feel him. I don't see him. Is my trust broken? I can tell you a story for myself. I was a teenager, and my world had literally just flipped upside down. Everything that I knew and expected to be was flipped. And my trust in the Lord was not damaged, but at the same time, I was hurt. And I found myself at a youth congress. And I was standing there amongst, 20,000 people, or whatever youth congress ran that year. But we were in an ice arena that was slam-packed. And I look around, and in Youth Congress, for those of you that have been there, you know what I'm talking about. The Holy Ghost is moving. Things are bumping. Lives are being changed. And I stood there, and I was like, I don't feel you, Lord. I don't doubt you, but I don't feel you. But I trusted. I continued to trust. The Lord ultimately touched my heart, restored, renewed, and met answers to many, many questions. Some of those questions weren't answered until years later, but I never lost hope. Cleopas and his friend, they're walking, and I don't think I, did I say my title yet? Okay, my title is A Little Talk with Jesus Makes It Right. So these guys are walking, and they have a little talk with Jesus, and it makes it right. Jesus sets it right for them. So in our walk with God, we hit those points. We hit those valleys where we say, man, I've gotten church hurt. Or, man, I don't know how I can pay my tithes because the bills are running tight. Man, the doctor's report was not very good for me. And I don't feel that there's an answer. I don't feel Jesus. But I'm telling you, even though you don't feel him, even though you may not be able to see him, he is standing there right beside you, ready to answer a need. He is ready to meet every need. So we just need to call on him, trust in him. Don't let the trust that you placed in the Lord be broken. Because if you start heading to Emmaus, it ended up being a 6-hour, well, let's say call it 15-mile hike that they didn't necessarily need to take if they just trusted in the Lord. Because you see, they break bread. They get up and they're like, oh, man, Jesus just opened my eyes. He revealed himself to be true. He is risen from the dead. He has the keys to heaven, hell, and the grave. He is the Redeemer for Israel. He's the Redeemer for the whole world. He's even called the Gentiles upon himself, to himself. Even Herod is desiring to see him, whether his intentions are right or not. Even Herod is desiring to know of Jesus, to see miracles. He is who he is. And so I get up and I run 7.5 miles back to Jerusalem to proclaim all of these things. And man, you know, if we read the next scripture, they're there talking, saying, Jesus is risen. He's really risen. And immediately, Jesus has already done the 7.5 mile trip. He appears before them again to commune with them. Jesus won't leave you hanging. He's going to prove again and again that he is who he is. In Isaiah 53:5 says, but he was wounded, and this is prophecy, but this is also fulfillment, is, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with the stripes we are healed. If you have transgressions, he's here to forgive. His blood was shed for an atonement for our sins to wash anew. Be like, yeah, but I just keep sinning. Look, we need to get over that. But at the same time, his blood is there to wash anew again and again. To forgive iniquities, wash them, purify and sanctify your soul. If you have a healing need, not just physical, but mental, spiritual healing, he can heal it all. blessings, Matthew 7, 7 through 8 says, "Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." Don't give up. Keep on walking with the Lord. And the blessings also, this here kind of opens it up to everything. If you have a need, he cares about you. The Bible says that his eyes are even on the sparrow. And so if he has care enough to make sure that the sparrow has a nest to live in, the fox have a den, that he cares enough that the flowers in the field are arranged like they are, what more will he do for us? What more will he bless us? Jesus. I know I'm short-winded, but I'm coming into my closing. And so, in closing, to our followers that stated that they had trusted that Jesus was the one to bring redemption to Israel, but they had lost hope, faith, and that trust in Jesus and Scripture. Is there a need that you have today? Or have you lost hope in your current situation? And again, I said, I don't know who all this is for. This may just be for me. But Jesus is here today to meet all of our needs. In closing, Scripture is Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. But in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." Even when you don't know where you're going, even if you're on that road to Emmaus, trust in him and he'll direct your path. He did a 180 for those two gentlemen. They made it to Emmaus, and they did a U-turn and made it back to Jerusalem where they belonged. I have no doubts that they were in the upper room when the Holy Ghost was outpoured. How could they not be? How could they not be one of the 120?
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.